Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hour on this week's edition of Spiritual Awakening Radio, in search of the Sabbath Keepers, in search of Christianity before Paul, an ancient, almost forgotten remnant of Aramaic-speaking people, usually given the name Nazareans or Ebionites, the original Jesus movement, marginalized and forgotten long ago, kind of displaced by Roman Christianity and forgotten. I have created a page online where I've brought together all of the surviving remnant bits and pieces of lost scriptures or semi-lost texts, surviving quotes from the Gospel of the Hebrews, Gospel of the Nazareans, Gospel of the Ebionites, the hymn book once used by Eastern Christianity, and a kind of book of Acts of this original group. Christianity before Paul, with their vegetarian gospels, and their more Jewish-oriented foundation. Now, in each generation of Christianity, there have always been a few people interested in the Hebrew roots of Christianity. Sometimes they are interested in learning the Aramaic language. Sometimes they adopt Hebrew or Aramaic names of God. They adopt the name Yeshua for Jesus and Yahweh for the Supreme Being, or some other sacred name they find to be more sacred by doing so. And even before the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls and the popularity of alternative scriptures or other texts, back a couple centuries ago, folks like Ellen White, who founded the Seventh-day Adventists, and others have endeavored to notice, even in the regular European canon of Scripture, in the Hebrew Scriptures and New Testament, they've noticed references to vegetarianism in early Genesis. And they've noticed references to keeping the seventh day Sabbath, even in the New Testament itself. And some have attempted to adopt celebrating the Hebrew holidays and to become mindful of their spiritual symbolism and significance. In search of the Sabbath keepers, going Aramaic, attempting to go back to the Jewish roots of a forgotten form of early Christianity that once upon a time spoke the Aramaic language and had its own unique history, a very rich spiritual heritage, actually, one that's been mostly forgotten about. You'll find a piece of it in the Dead Sea Scrolls. You'll find other parts of it scattered throughout a number of different collections of writings. And I have endeavored to create a page, a Hebrew Christianity page online, where I have provided links to these texts. I've brought them together again. Early collections of the sayings of Jesus, early Gospels, vegetarian gospels and references to the vegetarianism of early Christianity, the earliest known hymn book of early Christianity, and a book of Acts of this Hebrew Christian movement of early centuries, sometimes given the name Ebionites, sometimes referred to as the Nazareans. I've brought all of that material together, along with sacred texts from the followers of John the Baptist, known as the Mandaeans, who also speak and have always spoke a dialect of the Aramaic language known as Mandaic. They have a treasure trove of scriptures as well. And then eventually, Syriac becomes a dialect of Aramaic, popular in the region of Mesopotamia. And there is a rich literature of saints and mystics that have written in that language. And for the first time in the history of the Western world, a number of those texts have been translated into English. So, for those seeking to find the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, to adopt a more Jewish-oriented Christianity, there is a whole treasure trove of literature one may be interested in finding out about. And on today's program, you'll get to hear about those texts and how to find them online. I begin by focusing on the spiritual or mystical aspects of keeping the Sabbath. And this takes us right into the heart of meditation and mysticism. The virtues of silence, of spiritual rest and retreat, a kind of recharging of one's batteries on a day of rest, which in Judaism and in Hebrew Christianity is known as keeping the seventh day Sabbath, a day where you unplug from the world and activities pertaining to the mundane world and just focus on spiritual things and tranquility and rest. And this takes us into a discussion about meditation practice as well. Ellen White of the Seventh-day Adventists and others who are in the category known as Sabbatarians or Sabbath keepers would have been very interested in the Gospel of Thomas and might have adopted it as scripture had they been around during the time of its discovery. If they noticed a certain passage saying 27 of the Gospel of Thomas, which says, "If you do not observe the Sabbath as a Sabbath, you will not behold the Father." That's the Bentley Layton translation. Marvin Meyer has an Aramaic-leaning translation of the Gospel of Thomas, which renders it this way: "If you do not observe the Shabbat as Shabbat, you will not see the Father." I bet Ellen White and the Seventh-day Adventists and other Sabbath-keeping forms of Christianity would have been really interested in that verse. But they came to power, their movement got founded and solidified long before the discovery of the Gospel of Thomas. But I bet they would have liked it a lot had those two events, the founding of the Seventh-day Adventists and the discovery of the Gospel of Thomas, had those two events occurred contemporary with one another. The Sabbath, as observed in Judaism, begins at sunset on Friday evening and goes on until sunset on Saturday evening. The day begins not at midnight for them, but at sunset, which is a very logical, nature-friendly sort of way to keep track of time. Friday sunset to Saturday sunset is the seventh day of the week, known as the Sabbath, a day of rest from all labor, to abstain from the world and its affairs and physical exertion, a time for worship, a time for rest, spiritual retreat, recharging one's batteries, unplugging from the world, and entering into the solitude, unless one is gathered together with others, which also is part of the Sabbath in Judaism, and of course in Sabbath-keeping or Sabbatarian forms of Christianity. It is a time of meditation. And in early Christianity and Gnosticism, a time of meditation and mysticism. In the Gospel of Thomas, it says, "Seek and do not stop seeking until you find. When you find, you will be troubled. When you are troubled, you will marvel and rule over the all. And ruling over the all, you will enter into rest." The following is from the Greek edition of the Gospel of Thomas, the Oxyrhynchus Egypt edition of Thomas, which fewer people know about. Not too many people know about the Greek manuscript of Thomas. It renders it this way: "Let the one seeking not stop seeking until he finds, and when he finds, he will marvel or be astonished. And marveling or being astonished, he will reign. And reigning, he will enter into rest. Seek a place of rest, or you may become a carcass and be eaten." That's another saying from the Gospel of Thomas. Seek a place of rest, or you may become a carcass and be eaten. Or, as I would interpret that as meaning, if you seek a place of rest, you'll find something that is permanent, that is lasting, that is of the soul, of the spirit, of timeless immortality. Something which transcends the carcass of the body. Something that will live on beyond one's mortal life here on earth. A place of rest. Rest is a holy word in many ancient texts. It is a word referring to a heavenly rest, a spiritual realm of peace, of tranquility. If I was speaking Sanskrit, I would use the word shanti, shanti peace, a very deep spiritual, perfect peace, perfect tranquility kind of peace. That's what kind of rest is being referred to here. "Come to me, for my yoke is easy and my mastery is gentle, and you will find rest for yourselves." Another saying from the Gospel of Thomas about rest. A Sabbath rest from the world of the five senses via meditation beyond the confines of body and mind. The mystic seeks a vision of God and the heavens on a spiritual level. As Meister Eckhart said so well, "If the soul is to see God, then it must see no temporal thing. For as long as the soul is conscious of time or space or of an idea, it cannot know God." Meister Eckhart channeled actually a few sayings from the Gospel of Thomas, somehow or another, intuitively, or maybe he even had a copy. Who knows? But there are some parallels between the teachings of the German mystic Meister Eckhart and the Coptic Gospel of Thomas that was found in Egypt. The soul transcends the material world. And if we can get to that part of ourselves, can get beyond our thoughts, the impressions left on the mind, if we can just get away from the mind and this awareness of this realm of the five senses for a while, we can swim in that ocean of silence, in that ocean of rest, and perceive that other world which lies beyond body and mind. As it says in the Gospel of Truth by Valentinus of Alexandria, another ancient text, "They rest in him who rests without wearying themselves or becoming confused about truth. But they indeed are the truth, and the Father is in them, and they are in the Father, since they are perfect, inseparable from him who is truly good. They lack nothing in any way, and they are given rest and are refreshed by the Spirit. From the Gospel of Truth, one of the greatest of the texts found at Nag Hammadi in Upper Egypt, one of the great discoveries of ancient writings, ancient scriptures of the West, lost scriptures of the West. Also from the Nag Hammadi, each one will speak concerning the place from which they have come forth and to the region from which they have received their essential being, and will hasten to return once again and receive from that place the place where they stood before. And they will taste of that place, be nourished and grow, and their own place of rest is their fullness, or pleroma. I am the voice speaking softly. I am from the beginning. I am in the silence that surrounds every one of them. A passage from the Nag Hammadi book of Trimorphic Proto-Noah, which I've learned how to pronounce. I have practiced it for quite some time. Trimorphic Proto-Noah. It is referring once again to this place of rest, which is a state of being, a kind of heavenly realm. And indeed it is. The place of rest is fullness. Fullness is another holy word in ancient mysticism. The Greek word for it is pleroma, and it means fullness. And it is a term equivalent to Eastern terms such as nirvana or Sach Khand. Eternal, timeless, the divine realm or highest heaven. This is from the book of Alagenus. We do not know whether the unknowable one has angels or gods, or whether the one who is at rest contains anything within himself except that very stillness. Stillness, rest, silence, tranquility. This is from Kripal Singh, a more contemporary Gnostic mystic, a spiritual master. God is the ocean of utmost and restful silence. So long as we cannot have this restful silence within us, the soul cannot listen to the voice of silence arising out of the greatest depths of silence. By following that voice, we can reach the source and the fountainhead of great silence, called God, and be blessed forever. Learn to sit still and be mentally still, and the silence thus generated will be more vocal than words spoken and written, and you will have an instantaneous solution not only to your own personal problems, but to the problems of others as well. The human body is the temple of God. He is waiting there for you. That is why I ask you to look within, with a longing in your heart and silence in your soul. God will reveal himself to you. You will find him. No, see him. Also from Kripal Singh, in silence the heart illumines. Veil after veil is removed. In the heart shines the light, and the very silence becomes vocal, giving vent to the music of the spheres reverberating in all creation. That's from Kripal Singh. This reading is also from Kripal Singh, from a book called Spirituality, What It Is. There are three distinct entities in the composition of a person: the physical body, as made mostly of solid matter; 2, the mental body, as made of subtle matter; and 3, causal, or the seed body, that holds the first two. The spirit or soul works through all three bodies. The various bodies sooner or later are bound to disintegrate and dissolve, while the soul is indestructible and an ever-living entity beyond the sway of time and death, beyond the sway of Kal Narinjan. It is the spark from the divine forge at which the life current is forged to shape the world and bring it into being. The human body is the veritable temple of God, and this microcosm simply works on the lines of the macrocosm. seek that place of rest, it says in the Gospel of Thomas, or you may have the impression that you are just a carcass soon to be eaten, to slightly paraphrase it a bit, in light of Kripal Singh, which is very much picking up where the Gnostic Gospels left off, speaking to these issues of how to find the silence, the spiritual rest, and its nature, transcending the worlds of body and mind. Whether you meditate on the seventh day Sabbath or on some other day of the week, you can enter into that rest, that heavenly rest, that tranquility, through contemplative meditation. After the break, In Search of the Sabbath Keepers, Christianity Before Paul, the Gospel of the Hebrews, the Vegetarian Gospels, the Aramaic Writings, the surviving texts, the fragments of a faith forgotten. The name of the program is Spiritual Awakening Radio. My name is James Bean, streaming with you at this time every week on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. More after these messages. Stay tuned. Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time. Your Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us. Be vegan, make peace. Be good to the planet and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on our plate. If you want to please your taste buds while promoting love and harmony with the earth, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants all over the U.S. and around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain on the planet, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To see what's on the menu at the Loving Hut near you, go to this website, lovinghut.us. Once again, the web address is lovinghut.us.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Spiritual Awakening Radio. During the first segment of the program was a meditation, about the ultimate celebration of the Sabbath day, a true spiritual keeping of the Sabbath, a day of rest where one goes within and experiences divine rest. Citing various ancient texts and a contemporary master by the name of Kirpal Singh, who is so Gnostic that if you put some of his writings in the Nag Hammadi Library of Egypt, they would fit rather nicely. There's such a tremendous harmony, such a segue from Gnostic texts to the teachings of Kirpal Singh and the Sant tradition of India. And you really, when you focus on the teachings of the Sants or saints, the path of the masters, Gnostic scriptures, Jewish mysticism or Kabbalah, it's really impossible to tell where one ends and the other begins. It's all very much the same, isn't it? It's very much in harmony. It's all the same thing, only coming from different parts of the world or different languages, since translated into English. But it's really inseparable. It's really very much a singular kind of path coming in different guises or different garbs or wearing different coats, but really the same path of masters, sages, and mystics. During the rest of the program today, In Search of the Sabbath Keepers, Going Aramaic, Finding the Hebrew Christian, Celebrating the Jewish Roots of Christianity, Discovering the Faith That Was Once Delivered to the Saints, The Fragments of a Faith Long Forgotten, a form of Christianity known as Hebrew Christianity or the Ebionites, sometimes they're referred to as the Nazareans, that first group, part of the Jesus family, the original Jesus movement, or the first Christians. I've placed online, I've created a page at Medium, part of my library, a section of my library, where I've tried to bring together all of the surviving texts that anyone who's interested in the Ebionites or Christianity before Paul would love to access. I do agree with the Dead Sea Scroll scholar Robert Eisenman that finding the historic James the Just, the brother and spiritual successor of Jesus, is the most logical way to locate a historic Jesus. I mean, the history is so bewildering. Mythicists have a lot of information showing there are parallels between what's portrayed as the life of Christ and various other dying and rising savior gods of the Mediterranean world. Apollonius of Tyana, for instance. So, where to begin? Well, there's a lot of information about James the Just, the brother of Jesus, who was the spiritual leader of this group of Hebrew Christians, or Christianity, before Paul. This Nazarene, James the Just, Ebionite page is a project I created to gather together what remains of their scriptures. So this original group, Christianity before Paul, awkwardly marginalized by Paul and later Roman versions of Christianity, can be more easily accessed. I do include the Gospel of Thomas on this list because of Gospel of Thomas saying 12, which pledges solidarity with James the Just, the founder of this, or the leader of this Hebrew Christian Jerusalem branch of Christianity that was going on before Paul arrived on the scene. Jesus' physical brother, James the Just, and spiritual successor, according to Saying 12 of the Gospel of Thomas. Plus, Saying 2 of the Gospel of Thomas is actually found in the Gospel of the Hebrews. It's a saying that both texts share in common. So I see the sayings of Thomas to very much relate to or emanate from this very Hebrew original group. And it parallels another text which scholars talk about quite frequently called Sayings Gospel Q. About half of the material present in Thomas is also found in Q. The belief is that authors of various Gospels, Thomas, Luke, Mark, Matthew, and John, were in possession of a collection of the sayings of Jesus and often quoted from it. working these quotes into their stories. And so they have in common these quotes. These same quotes turn up again and again in the different texts. And this is called Q because of the German word Quelle, which means source. A lot of these biblical scholars once upon a time spoke and wrote German, and so they used the German word Quelle and just have dubbed it the Q Gospel, referring to this hypothetical collection of the sayings of Jesus once used at the very beginning of Christianity. And Thomas has much in common with this Q Gospel. Scholars have endeavored to reconstruct it, and I have at my Hebrew Christianity page links to two different versions of reconstructed Q, as well as links to several translations of the Gospel of Thomas. These are all sayings Gospels, sayings of wisdom, wisdom Gospels. I also have a link to something known as the Gospel of the Hebrews, mostly a lost text. It's one of the vegetarian Gospels. It's probably one of the earliest. The Apostle Paul alludes to a story found in it in one of his letters authored around 50 AD. So, and he was someone who hardly ever quoted from Gospels or Jesus. You know, the letters of Paul are almost Jesus-free. You know, almost quotation-free. But he does allude to a story unique to the Gospel of Hebrews. So it must have been a really early, one of the oldest of the Gospels written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I have a link to what's left of that and links to surviving quotations found in the Gospel of the Nazareans and the Gospel of the Ebionites. After the break, I will continue sharing with you the contents of this collection of ancient Christian writings, Christianity Before Paul, from this Aramaic Hebrew-oriented Christianity at the very beginning. The name of the program is Spiritual Awakening Radio. Stay tuned for more after these messages.
Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time with Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us.
There's a reason why ADT is America's leading home security company. Since 1874, they've helped protect over 5 million homes. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the ADT banner. It's more affordable than you think.
Be vegan, make peace, be good to the planet, and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on our plate. If you want to please your taste buds while promoting love and harmony with the earth, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants all over the U.S. and around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain on the planet, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To see what's on the menu at the Loving Hut near you, go to this website, lovinghut.us. Once again, the web address is lovinghut.us.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, and books, East and West. Spiritual Awakening Radio is the name of the program. My name is James Bean, producer, writer, and host. On my page devoted to Hebrew Christianity, Christianity Before Paul, more books that I've brought together. One is called the Diatessaron, quite a mouthful to say. It means that which survives of Tatian's Gospel Harmony. Originally written in Aramaic, Tatian's Gospel Harmony in the 2nd century was a combining of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Thomas, and we really don't know what else. Some parts of it are missing. It's gone. But it was an attempt to create a single gospel, incorporating all of the material, harmonizing all of the material from several other gospels. It was very popular in the Syriac Aramaic East once upon a time. Now, it was destroyed, it was censored, it was taken from us, and the censors, the book burners of later Orthodox centuries, were so thorough in eradicating it that no copy of the original exists to this very day, and none have turned up. But there is a copy of a redacted version which has the apocryphal stuff chopped out of it, so it ends up being material from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John only, translated into Arabic, and then, of course, from Arabic into English. So there is a kind of redacted Diatessaron, or Tatian's Gospel Harmony, that one can read. And that is a very valuable read all the same, although there are missing parts that have been taken away. It's been harmonized with Orthodox canonical views of Scripture later on, and originally supposedly contained sayings not found in the New Testament, but are found in the Gospel of Thomas. Those have been chopped out, but the Arabic to English version does give you a sense of what the Diatessaron once was. I have a link to that at my Hebrew Christianity page. I have several links to the Clementine literature. One section known as the Recognitions of Clement, the Recognitions of Clement, and the Clementine Homilies, another huge section of it. And it is essentially a kind of book of Acts of the Apostle Peter and the Ebionite Christians, the Hebrew Christians, sometimes referred to as the Nazareans. In ancient times, in Judaism, you have three major branches. One of those branches is known as Essenism. And somehow or another, the John the Baptist group was, well, physically located not very far from Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, out in the wilderness, in the desert, of the Transjordan area. And there is some kind of connection there between the Essenes and the followers of John the Baptist. Like, he started his own group or branched off of the Essenes somehow. And he was related to Jesus and eventually initiates Jesus. And part of the Jesus movement comes out of the John the Baptist movement. Not all of the followers of the prophet John the Baptist signed up to Christianity. Not all of them did. Some of them remained separate. Perhaps followers of Simon Magus. Eventually, many of them migrated to Iraq and became known as the Sabaeans or the Mandaeans. And so that's another whole branch of this Aramaic original group. I have links to their writings online. And those that became part of the Jesus movement, eventually you get to the Clementine literature, and that is huge, and those are vegetarian gospels, very close to Essene thinking, for sure. I have a link at this Hebrew Christianity page to the Book of the Odes, the first hymn book of Christianity, the first known hymn book. The Odes are sometimes referred to as the Odes of Solomon, but have nothing whatsoever to do with Solomon. They were renamed by somebody somewhere along the way, and it became a pseudepigraphically titled book. But originally, there were 42 odes of great beauty. It's almost like Sufi poetry meets the Book of Psalms, or Rumi meets the Book of Psalms. They're very beautiful. How to describe the Book of the Odes, other than to say it's sort of like Rumi meets the Book of Psalms? Another way of describing them would be to say, imagine the authors of the Gospel of John decided to create a hymn book. In the beginning was the Logos, or the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Imagine those same composers choosing to create a hymn book. The Book of the Odes sounds like it was created by the same Johnite community, and indeed it may have been. It's a very beautiful collection of texts, and it's great to have links to those writings. They emanate from Syriac Aramaic, and you can read them, you can enjoy them if you check out my page dedicated to Hebrew Christianity. I have links to the New Testament letter of Jude, the letter of the Apostle James, and Mandaean texts, as I mentioned earlier. The John the Baptist group has a whole treasure trove of Aramaic texts, including the book of John the Baptizer. So you can read all of that material at this particular page. Mandaean scriptures, many different collections, including the canonical hymn book of the Mandaeans. Very beautiful. Very wonderful. They say that the Nag Hammadi library, or Gnostic scriptures, represents the prose of the Gnostics, but the Mandaean Gnostic texts represents the poetry. And indeed it does. It's very beautiful and comes from a dialect of Aramaic known as Mandaic, spoken in Iraq and around Mesopotamia. The name of the program is Spiritual Awakening Radio. After the break, more on Christianity before Paul, the Hebrew Christians, and the scriptures that they once studied. Stay tuned for more Spiritual Awakening Radio after these messages.
Loving Hut is the fastest growing chain of animal-free gourmet vegan restaurants all over the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a healthy, sustainable, planet-friendly, plant-based diet. All mouth-watering items on the menu are 100% vegan. In the Atlanta area, visit Loving Hut at 6385 Spalding Drive, Norcross, Georgia. To see what's on the menu, get driving directions or other information, go to lovinghut.us/Georgia. lovinghut.us/Georgia. And at Facebook, the address is facebook.com/lovinghutGA. That's facebook.com/lovinghutGA.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Spiritual Awakening Radio here on HealthyLife.net, streaming at this time every week by way of HealthyLife.net, the Positive Talk Radio Network. My name is James Bean. At the end of this segment, I will give you my email address as well as a number you can send a text message to if you'd like to receive a link to my Hebrew Christianity page I'm describing on today's program, with links to writings that are scattered amongst 30 books you probably have never heard of before, that would be very expensive to buy, and it would even be hard to know what's in them. But I'm a book collector, and I have brought together in a single, easy-to-access location writings of this Christianity before Paul, the Hebrew Christians, this original group, what has survived of the Gospel of the Hebrews, sayings Gospel Q, Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of the Ebionites, the early hymn book of this group called the Book of the Odes, this literature that developed and got combined together and grew, known as the Clementine homilies. And Tatian's Gospel Harmony, a mega gospel made up of other gospels incorporated into it. Also, I have links to the New Testament letter of Jude and letter of the Apostle James, the Apocryphon of James from the Nag Hammadi. I have information about a book called The Ascents of James, the Just. I have links to Mandaean John the Baptist literature that's available, including the Mandaean canonical prayer book. I have a link to the four Gospels of the New Testament from the Old Syriac. And in, for instance, the Gospel of Luke in this Old Syriac manuscript is an outright vegetarian saying of Jesus that somehow slipped through the censors, slipped through the cracks, and was not harmonized or redacted, and there it remains. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty neat to find. I have links to that Old Syriac manuscript, which has been translated into English. I have two articles on the same page about the vegetarianism of this group, an article called Uncovering a Vegetarian Jesus at the Beginning of Christianity, as well as another article called Evidence That Jesus and the Original Aramaic Christians Were Vegetarians. And this has all of those veg passages from Gospel of the Hebrews, Ebionites, Nazareans, the Clementine literature, that passage I mentioned from Aramaic Syriac Gospel of Luke from the Old Syriac manuscript of the 2nd century. All of that material brought together. And some people really are into it. There are people at Facebook that keep sharing links to those articles online 7 days a week. They just find it to be very liberating to know that there is a vegetarian tradition in early Christianity, and all of these irrefutable passages that scholars are aware of and would vouch for as legitimate, dating back thousands of years, they're just liberated by having access to that knowledge, to know that that really exists. That's an ancient tradition that's been with us this whole time. And so I have those articles linked on this page as well. Also, a link to a book called The Syriac Fathers on Prayer and the Spiritual Life, another category of literature I haven't really included on the program today. Between the 4th and the 8th centuries A.D. in the Syriac East are the Syriac Fathers. St. Isaac of Nineveh, St. Ephrem the Syrian would be the two big names most well known, but there are many others too. And Sebastian Brock has translated for the first time into the English language a lot of these Syriac Aramaic rites of writings of saints and mystics in his book, The Syriac Fathers on Prayer and the Spiritual Life. and he has translated several other books as well. The School of St. Thomas of the 1st and 2nd and 3rd centuries A.D. branched out eventually into three distinct groups: the Syrian Orthodox Church, or Church of the East; the Heterodox, or not-so-Orthodox, Nestorians of the East; and the very Gnostic Manichaeans, followers of the prophet Mani. Mani grew up in an Elkosite household. The Elkosite religion was a spin-off from the Ebionite, or Hebrew Christian, movement, and were Sabbath-keeping, holy-day-keeping, holy-day-observing, kind of a Christianity with Jewish roots and some Gnostic leanings as well. They were vegetarians, had some interesting writings. That's where Mani grew up, and he became a prophet and founder of this Manichaean movement, which went all the way to China and India eventually, and in the West went all the way to France, to the movement known as the Cathars. The Cathars were a branch of the Manichaeans. So I talk about them and provide links to all of these sources on one single page, easy to find, compiled, you know, from all of these different sources. Send me an email. When sending the email, say, send me the link to the page about Hebrew Christianity. My email address is james@spiritualawakeningradio.com, james@spiritualawakeningradio.com, or you can send me a text message if you prefer. The number is 508-603-9381, 508-603-9381. Visit my website, spiritualawakeningradio.com. At the website is a donate button. There are links to various blogs and newsletters I've published, daily spiritual quotes via social media, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, and other sites, and links to podcasts by way of healthylife.net that you can access at my website, spiritualawakeningradio.com. Thanks for listening to today's program. See you again next week for another edition of Spiritual Awakening. Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time with Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us. Be good to the planet and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on your plate. If you want to please your palate while still promoting love and harmony with the planet, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain in the world, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To learn more, go to www.lovinghut.us. Once again, the address is www.lovinghut.us.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Spiritual Awakening Radio is heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, which is noon Pacific Time. Also on Sundays at noon Eastern, which is 9 a.m. Pacific Time. At HealthyLife.net, click on the Archive tab, scroll down, and you'll discover that there are many editions of Spiritual Awakening Radio there that you can click on and listen to anytime on demand. There are also podcasts of the program available through HealthyLife.net. Visit my website, SpiritualAwakeningRadio.com. From there, you can send me an email if you like. And at Facebook, the address is facebook.com/SpiritualAwakeningRadio, where you'll find links to recently archived programs, spiritual quotes, and news about upcoming shows. For Spiritual Awakening, I'm James Bean.